All right, I have navigated the barbed wire, the tanks at the borders, and I've made it into Salem to meet once again with Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll. And, of course, I jest, but Madam Mayor, thank you for letting me come back in here. And I do want to ask you, not that any of what I just said is real, but you have put out a message here recently about what to do here in October, because this is such a huge time for visitors to Salem, and it's all different right now.
Yeah, it's not only what to do, but what not to do, right? We've canceled all events. We really have tried to put out the warning that this isn't the year to go. And we still have had a lot of people in town, and way less than a typical October, to be clear. We're not seeing the same number of masses, but because of reduced occupancies, even a smaller crowd impacts us in a way where we have some congestion, and we don't think that's something we want to risk as we move forward with the last two weekends in October, which are really traditionally, you know, as the crescendo builds towards Halloween. So we're putting some additional restrictions in place, reinforcing the message that this really isn't the year to come. You're not going to have a great experience if you're a visitor because it's so crowded. The things are selling out super early. You're better off coming after Halloween. Or even if you want to be here in October, like next October is probably a better idea.
How have things gone so far? Because I haven't been in Salem in a while, and I generally, no offense, avoid Salem in October, when I have business to do. But obviously with the way the restaurants are now configured outside with the barriers and all the outside decorations and so on, and I noticed this morning, very cool morning coming in here to your office, lots and lots of people outside dining.
Yeah, I think the outside dining has just been a savior to so many of the restaurants to provide that space. And the month of October has been fantastic from a weather perspective. We've had a lot of mild days. That does contribute to people just, a wanderlust of let's go to Salem for the day. And that's even worse than just having people who plan to be here because they're not aware of what to do. They're not aware of the rules. And they're finding themselves here without a lot to do. So while it's been a boon for restaurants, for the retailers, for our small business community that we're super worried about. I want to be clear, like these are independent mom and pops for the most part. They live in Salem. Many of the owners, they employ a lot of people here. But when business operations start to impact public health, obviously we need to draw the line. So these last 2 weeks, we've been putting restrictions in place all month as we sort of gear up for this crescendo of Halloween. And as we move towards the end of the month, there'll be additional restrictions, curbing of activity to really reinforce this isn't the time to come.
We're 6 or 7 months into this thing now. What has changed from your perspective in terms of your daily routine here? Obviously, it's an emergency situation to begin with, and so all bets are off as to what happens when. But now, is there a routine now that has changed for you?
You know, I'll say COVID requires almost constant attention and focus, either the response, the recovery efforts, the planning for the second surge. So the normal has been, how are we addressing COVID and having teams working on that while also dealing with all the other aspects of governing? You know, we still have to pave roads and new projects and sidewalks are starting and wrestle with the typical nuts and bolts issues of governing while also really being mindful of COVID. It does change everything. I don't know a local official who's not working 24/7 on the array of activities. It's not boring.
City workers, I've noticed in all cities and towns, are really doing the mask thing. They're paying attention to that. And in your experience with your health department and so on, is that still the main thing, is to wear the mask, wash your hands, and the social distancing? I mean, we've seen an uptick, but that kind of makes sense, I think, with all the new testing and moving indoors. But in general, is that a pretty solid course of action?
I mean, the epidemiologists that we have access to as local leaders, and we're so fortunate to be in a region where there's just immense talent here, have made it really clear, like these simple things like wearing this mask, washing your hands frequently and maintaining physical distance, not having those gatherings of people, especially folks that you're not in your household with, really make a big difference. And the uptick of cases that we're seeing, not just here in Salem, but I think within Massachusetts, frankly, it's not throngs of visitors coming from other places. It's familial contacts, you know, a household party that you had or had someplace, an outbreak at work or in a particular setting. That's what's contributing to the case upticks. Obviously, we've seen college kids getting together or young adults getting together, I should say. That can cause an uptick. And we're all worried about fall. It's a really crucial period of time. Kids are back in school. Colleges are back in session, some certainly. And as you said, it's getting cooler and people are indoors. And we know that's a key transmission vector. Mm-hmm. So trying to make sure that we don't end up in the Venn diagram in the middle with case uptick due to all those factors.
I like it when you talk math. That's awesome.
It's not very often.
I didn't ask you this in our pre-warm-up, so no trick questions here, but the election's coming up in 2 weeks, and I just saw something on television about voter suppression, which I've heard it once or twice before over the years. In Massachusetts, I'm not sure that there's any problem with that. But in terms of COVID, in terms of how we vote, what's your general take on things, how things are going or how things are going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's never been more access to voting in Massachusetts than right now, between mail-in ballots, early voting, obviously voting in the traditional way on the day of, ballot boxes. We have ballot boxes at all of our fire stations. So the idea of, in spite of COVID, making sure everybody has a safe, accessible way to cast their vote is important. But when you look countrywide, there's something like 36 lawsuits going on in states throughout the nation, whether it's a suppression issue on one group or another group who feels like there's access that could lead to fraud. I think it'll be interesting as we come to the close of the election. We're hopeful that we can have an orderly transition to whatever comes next.
Okay, a couple of more questions. Schools, how is that going?
We just voted last night as a school committee to try and bring back our youngest learners, group kindergarten through grade 2. As of November 16th, that's our target date to restart. That would be every day in person. I think, we're doing a much better job than the spring. Kudos to our teachers, our central office staff. Everybody's trying to make sure we have the tools, from the actual computers, the Chromebooks, to the support systems, the technology platforms and programs, the assistants, getting up to speed on how to manage all those, and our families as well, who are, juggling jobs and kids and education and all of that. It's not ideal. All that being said, people are killing themselves, and this virtual platform is just not ideal. So we're hopeful that we can bring back our youngest learners. We do have what we call Tier 1 students in right now, so we have about 600 students that are receiving in-person instruction. Knock on wood, we haven't had any outbreaks of COVID due to that. Now we're going to bring back the K-2 in November, assuming our community standards stay the same. And we're hopeful we can sort of put that in place. And next would be our 6th grade and 9th grade. Mm-hmm. So we want to transit those transition grades. We're having a tough time engaging 9th graders. And we feel like bringing them in person in sort of a hybrid model could be an assist. But there's no doubt we got to get kids back in buildings. And we want to do it safely, obviously. Right. And there's a lot of pieces to it, but we think that's our goal.
I'm trying to do facial expressions with my eyes, but I don't know how to
we
do that.
Now,
yeah,
right?
I know. I guess final question is something to look forward to. I just read in the paper today, I think Dustin Luca wrote it, about a new swimming pool, a public swimming pool.
Yeah, we're excited about. We have these amazing parks in Salem. This is one of our waterfront gems, Forest River Park, where we have a baseball field, a basketball court, a beautiful playground, and we have a community pool. It was built, probably 30, 40 years ago now, and longer than that. It's been in existence, and it just needed an upgrade. It's been closed last summer, and we really want to move forward with a new community pool, splash pad, and we had a vote to support the next sort of phase of the funding to do a lot of the site work. It'll be a sustainable project on the waterfront, and this is the place that thousands of kids learned how to swim. We have a summer swimming mm-hmm. lesson program there, and that's an important life skill, so we're excited about the next step in that journey and looking forward to continuing to make investments in our parks. We've got some signature parks we're hoping to really upgrade and reinvest in preparation for our 400th anniversary in 2026.
There we go. All right. Something nice to look forward to.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
That is Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll. I'm Rick Moore. This is MSO News Sports.